This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. Why do I struggle so much sometimes to do the right thing? I know what God requires of us, but sometimes getting to the place of actually acting upon it, sometimes it takes time. Well, welcome. This is episode 28 of Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. This week, our topic deals with that very, very issue of these times when we know the right thing to do, but then sometimes it takes us a while to get to the place where we actually do it. It's part of our current podcast theme, Illustrated by Jesus, where we're looking at these parables that Jesus told, specifically in the book of Matthew, and taking a deeper dive into them. Thanks to Ryan, who produces this each week. The podcast is a big part of our success here. And, you know, we also track to see how people are following, who's following along. I came across a really interesting statistic on our podcast, on Unhurried, that 21% of you listen through your smartwatch. How is that possible? That means fully, you know, one-fifth of you out there are listening on your watch. Does that mean, are you all running while you're doing this, jogging, exercising, driving? How is that? I'd love to know. So if you just let me know at unhurriedpodcast@gmail.com, I would be fascinated to know how you're listening on your smartwatch. I picture you, you know, running along the road with your watch up against your ear and your wrist there. So let me know how that's happening. Well, today we're looking at a parable that Jesus told in Matthew 21. It's a very simple parable. It's about a father who had two sons. He had one request of both of them to go out and work in the vineyard. They both gave different answers. One said yes, the other said no. The one that said no actually changed his mind and did it. The one who said yes changed his mind and didn't do it. And that's really the parable. Jesus then asked the question to the chief priests and the elders who were trying to trap him, trying to trick him. He asked them, which one did the will of the Father? And they had to concur that it was the first son. That it was the son who had initially said no, but then had a change of heart and actually did what the Father required. That is the parable in a nutshell. And on Sunday, when we went into this, I talked a little bit about the setup for that parable, how the chief priests and the elders were trying to trap Jesus. And they asked him a question about his authority. They wanted to embarrass him and to make him look bad in front of his followers. Instead, Jesus turned the tables on them and asked them a question, which led to this parable. And I really love the way Jesus begins this parable. He begins in Matthew 21:28 with these words, "What do you think?" And that really captures the purpose of the parables. The parables are intended to stimulate our thinking, to make us think about the principles behind them and how they apply to our lives. They're engaging us and our minds and our hearts into what Jesus is saying with these vivid stories that often surprise us in the direction that they go. Now, again, it's a very simple parable at face value. If you picture a minus sign, and on top of that minus sign, above the line, you put the first son. The first son said that he would not do what the father asked. He said no to his father, but then he has a change of heart, and he obeys. And then on the bottom of that line, that minus sign in this case, we're going to put the second son. And the second son said yes, and yet he disobeyed. He actually said yes in a very emphatic way. He said, "I will, sir." He's very respectful, adamant that he would do it. But then Jesus says he did not do it. He disobeyed. He did not go and do what the father expected of him. And, you know, both of these stories would, to the listeners, would have been very relatable. Every parent is familiar with a child who initially balks at something they're asked to do. They say, I don't want to, I don't feel like it. But then they have a change of heart, and they do it. On the other hand, every parent is also familiar with the child that sort of is, you know, all yes, always, oh, sure, of course, but then never gets around to actually doing the chore that he or she is asked to do. And so these would have been very relatable characters. On the top, the first son who said no and then obeyed. On the bottom, the second son who said yes but didn't do it. And then Jesus, you know, summarizes the meaning of this parable as he's addressing these chief priests and elders, these religious leaders of the day, saying, you are like the first, you're like the second son. You're like the one who's all yes, you look good on the outside, but you actually don't do the will of the Father. And instead, and then he surprises them by saying, the first son, the one who you admitted was the one who did the right thing in the end, they're like these tax collectors and prostitutes, these people that these flawed individuals who are following me, that you have a real problem with. You religious leaders have a problem that they're following me, but they've turned their lives around. They've changed the course of their life. They've had a change of heart, and now they're actually aligning themselves with the Father and with His will. And ultimately, Jesus explains in the parable that the will of the Father is that we believe, that we put we have a change of heart, and we put our trust and our faith in God the Father. And so the reason I point out this minus sign is I want you to, first of all, see that Jesus really starts with two categories. He only really addresses two categories, these two sons who had opposite answers and opposite responses. But we'd have to admit that in reality, there are more like four quadrants, four kinds of ways that we could respond to God's plan and God's will and God's purpose in our lives. So now I want you to imagine, instead of a minus sign, a plus sign. And with a plus sign in your mind's eye, you can picture four quadrants rather than just two, up and down. Now we have the upper left, the upper right, the lower left, and the lower right. And this really identifies for us the four types of responses that we could have to God's purpose and will and plan in our lives. And I guess one of the reasons I'm taking the time, the trouble to kind of explain this graphic so you can visualize it in your brain is that, well, I'm picturing some of you, you know, with your smartwatch, you know, right up against your ear listening to this podcast. Others are driving somewhere. Maybe you're working out. Maybe you're in the middle of a project, a house project or something like that, and you're listening to this. And so I want you to at least be able to visualize this, since I can't put a graphic in front of you, as to picture this plus sign, which will give us four different quadrants, four different corners of this. And they represent the four different possible answers that these sons could have and responses that these sons could have had to their father. If you imagine the top two, those above the center line, as being those who said yes to the father, and the two lower ones would be those who said no to the father. Then the two on the left would be those who disobeyed the father, and the two on the right would be those who obeyed the father. Well, that gives us four different responses then, if you think about it. The upper left quadrant would be a son who said yes, but then disobeyed. The father didn't do it. That would be actually like the second son in our parable that Jesus mentioned. On the lower left would be someone who said no, but then also disobeyed. Possible to say no and then follow through on that and disobey. Jesus didn't mention a son like that, but that's certainly a possibility. Now we go over to the right side of the plus sign. On the top side, the upper right, would be someone who said yes and then obeyed. Again, Jesus didn't mention anyone like that, but that's a possible response, yes and then obey. And on the lower right would be someone who said no, but then did obey. And of course, that was the first son that Jesus mentioned in his parable. So really, there are four types, not just two. It's possible to say yes and do it, or yes and not do it. It's possible to say no, but then do it, or no and not do it. Four different responses. So why did Jesus only cover two? What about the other two possibilities? In theory, of course, all four responses are possible. And we can imagine, you know, the times in our life when spiritually we're in a really good place and we sense what God wants us to do, and we respond favorably. We say yes and we do it. And I imagine we can also, you know, picture someone who is really rebellious and in a antagonistic mood towards God, who said no and then in fact didn't do what God required. So we're going to add those two to the mix, to also added to the two sons that Jesus did mention in his parable. But it's got me wondering, why? Why is it that Jesus only mentioned these two? Well, part of the answer is, though these two perfectly portrayed where the first group, the chief priests and the elders were. They were the ones that were yes men, but then didn't follow through, weren't actually doing the will of the Father at all. They were resisting Jesus and not doing, you know, responding to God's will. And then, of course, there were these gathered in the crowd, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, being the two groups that Jesus highlighted. They represented those who had kind of rebelled against God in their earlier life, their earlier years, but now were responding favorably to God and doing what he wanted them to do. So obviously that's maybe the main reason why Jesus did it that way. But also, if you think about it, the yes, yes person, the person who says yes and then does yes, is sort of in the same category as the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. They don't exist. There's no such person like that. All of us have this independent, rebellious streak in us. And while we have our good moments, when we do say yes and then we respond favorably, I think Jesus wants us to see that all of us really were in that category at one time where we resisted God. And we can even find ourselves that way at times today, where we resist God, and then God wants us to have this change of heart, this repentance, this move in the right direction, to recognize that independent streak and then move in his direction. Here's how I put it in the message. I said, here's the deal. Jesus longed for the religious leaders to see themselves in the first category. He wants all of us to. We are all rebels who need to repent. So all of us need to see ourselves, at least that's God's desire, is for us to see ourselves in this category of the initial son that Jesus referenced, the one who their initial response was no, but their ultimate actions, their ultimate follow-up, was to believe and to fall in line with God's will. And then, okay, so we can understand that, why that quadrant is sort of removed, but what about the other quadrant that Jesus didn't mention? What about the person who says no to God and then, in fact, doesn't do it, acts upon their response? They say no, and then they don't. They are consistent. They follow through with that, and they don't do what God wants them to do. What about that? And I think the reason that Jesus didn't highlight that son too is that he wants us to see that everyone, for everyone, no matter how many times you've resisted God, no matter how many times you've said no to God, for everyone, there is a second chance. For everyone, it's not too late in this life to repent, to turn around. And so in the end, there's really only two categories of people. There's those who have resisted, but have turned around. And then there are those who maybe aren't walking where God wants them to be, following his path for their lives. But there's an opportunity still for them to turn around. There's always a second chance. Which I guess sort of addresses that question that I asked at the beginning. Why do I feel like there's times when I'm just struggling to do the right thing? It's because all of us are these broken people who are in process, like the son who said no and then responded with yes, or hopefully not, anymore like the one who said yes, but then didn't do. But even in that case, there's a second chance. There's a second chance. We are all strugglers who are on our way to doing the right thing if we open ourselves up to what God wants us to do. And what exactly is that right thing? What is the thing that God wants us to do? Well, the parable tells us, I mentioned it earlier, but the parable tells us that the work of God that Jesus calls working in the vineyard here is to believe. If you look at the end of the parable, that's what Jesus is calling us to, repentance and believing. And Jesus said this in John 6:28-29, when he said the work of God is this, to believe in the one God has sent, which is to believe in Jesus. And so that's the work that God wants us to do. He wants us to believe in him, to put our faith in him and trust that his plan is better than ours and his will is, in fact, the best for our lives. Now, there was one more thing I wanted to share with you about this parable, and I didn't cover it on Sunday morning. It's sort of extra for our podcast listeners. In fact, I couldn't have because it really didn't come up until after the message. After I gave the first service, someone came up to me and said, you know, my Bible, my version, my translation of the Bible has the sons exactly opposite of what you said, what you read from the New International Version, which is the translation I was using. They said it's just the opposite. It has the first son is the one who said yes, but then didn't do what the father wanted. And the second son was the one who resisted at first, but then had a change of heart. Exactly the opposite order. And so why is that? Why is it that we could have different translations having these in different orders? So I did some further research on it. And as it turns out, there's a couple different ancient manuscripts that have them in the reversed order. And so translators have had to decide which one they feel is the most authentic. Now, of course, it doesn't change the meaning of the parable at all, because in both cases, it's the one who, you know, the good son is the one who had a change of heart and ends up doing what God wants. So the meaning is the same. It's just kind of curious that their order is flipped in some translations. And it comes down to the fact that even some ancient translations have flipped these around. And so the translators have to kind of try and figure out which one is the authentic order. And one of the reasons that some may like it in the opposite order to save the, instead of like the way I've been telling it with the first son being the good son, is to make the second son the good son, is that sort of is the way we tell stories. That's sort of the way we tell jokes. That's sort of the way we make a point, is that you kind of build from bad to good. And the second one would be, you know, the one that you want. And so there's a school of thought that if it was changed over the years, in those early years it was flipped around, it may have just been a logical change that one of the scribes thought that kind of fit more with the way stories were told back then and the way Jesus might have told this parable. But I kind of like this. The most of the translations put it the same way that I've been telling it to you, where the first son is the one that Jesus commends. But I kind of like this interpretation of it. Some commentators say this. They say that, and I'll just read this. It says, one can surmise that Jesus didn't always give predictable responses. In this instance, he may well have painted a picture in which the Pharisees saw themselves as the first son, only to stun them with his application. I love that, because Jesus is sort of flipping it around. They could see themselves going, oh yeah, the first son, that's us. And then realize, as Jesus interprets the parable, that they are not the first son at all. They're the second one. They're the ones that were, in fact, not doing God's will, even though they were saying all the right things. If that's the case, then Jesus is, again, as we've seen in so many of the parables, he's just the, he gives these ultimate twists, these ultimate turns. He catches us off guard with telling the story in a way that surprises us and makes the point even more profoundly. And so anyway, I think it's a it's a really interesting insight into this parable that Jesus told. In doing so, he teaches all of us that we are strugglers on the way to do God's will, that at times we will resist. But what he wants us to do is to have a change of heart. He wants us to have, you know, to recognize this independent streak in us and to reference that, realize that, and then to return and commit ourselves to doing it God's way and following God's plan. And that even those that we care about that seem to be not in line with God's will, there's always a second chance. There's always a possibility for a turnaround. Nobody is in the no, never category. There's always a chance for turning around. And none of us, frankly, are in the yes, yes category where we always do it right. Instead, we have this in common with all humanity. We are in the process, and Jesus is at work in our lives to reveal his plan and his purpose for us, to turn us around and help us to follow him. Well, I hope this has been a helpful way as you think about this parable. I've enjoyed just having this time where you and I can think about these things together. When Jesus told us, you know, at the beginning to think about this, you know, we really do want to be those who think about this, to have Jesus come to us and say, what do you think? And for us to respond with, let me think hard upon that. I guess that's part of what we're doing in these unhurried podcasts, is taking time to really dwell on these truths and letting them sink in. So thanks for joining us. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle. I look forward to talking soon.